When we talk about the character or try to describe the character of a person, we'll sometimes compare that person to an animal that exhibits similar traits. So a boy who just encountered a mud puddle will be greeted at the door with, "You're dirty as a pig." Or you might be warned about another businessman because he's slippery as an eel. And when somebody doesn't get his way, of course, that other person is stubborn as a mule. We find similar type of descriptions in the scriptures, comparing people to various animals. In Luke 13, we won't take time to read all these, but in Luke 13, verse 32, Jesus says that Herod is a fox, talking about the fact he's sly. In Genesis 49, there's actually several descriptions by Jacob about his own children. He calls Judah a lion's whelp. He calls Issachar as strong as an ass. He says that Dan was a serpent by the path. And Naphtali was a deer on the loose. And Benjamin was ravenous as a wolf. Each one gives us a picture about the character of the person and what kind of person that man was. Now, I set that all up to talk about a passage that was in Proverbs chapter 7. In Proverbs chapter 7, Solomon looks out his window, is what we're told, and he sees a foolish young man that's walking down the street. And in Proverbs 7, verse 6, it says, For at the window of my house I looked out through my lattice, and I saw among the naive, and discerned among the youths, a man, young man lacking sense. Passing through the street near her corner, he takes the way to her house, in the twilight, in the evening, in the middle of the night, and in the darkness. And behold, a woman comes to meet him, dressed as a harlot, cunning of heart. He just concludes the young man's foolish, because he's in a bad part of town at a wrong time of night. And he's where one would obviously know that there would be temptations in the way. And that woman who meets him, it doesn't take her long to convince the young man to follow her into her house. Down in chapter 7, verse 21, it says, "With her many persuasions, she entices him. With her flattering lips, she seduces him. Suddenly he follows her as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as one in the fetters to the discipline of a fool, until an arrow pierces through his liver. As a bird hastens to the snare, so he does not know that it will cost him his life." As Solomon watches this going on from his window, there's several things that it reminds him of. Similar type of things. He says it's like an ox being led to the butcher. The ox is one who's grown up content to follow the farmer. And he follows the farmer out to the pasture all the time, and now the farmer's leading him, and the ox goes. He's unaware of what's happening around him. And in the same way, this young man is being led off, blindly unaware of any dangers that would result, because he's put his trust in the woman who's leading him. Solomon also says he's like a fool led to the correction stocks, or at the correction stocks. A fool doesn't connect his current actions with later consequences. He's on at the correction stocks, but he doesn't connect that, hey, the reason he's there is because of what he did before. In the same way, this young man is focused on the promise of current pleasure, and he doesn't see the embarrassment and later pain that it might bring him. The other one, he says, is like a man who's struck in the liver with an arrow. Now, the liver is a vital organ. But to wait until an arrow has damaged his liver is too late to realize that he's in danger. One of the things I've read is that when somebody takes a wound to the liver, he can function for a while, quite a while. But it's very hard to stop the bleeding. And he eventually dies. And in the same way, this young man will not listen to reason or think about to take steps to protect himself until after irreversible damage has been done. And then Solomon says, it's like a bird rushing to the snare. See, a bird sees the bait and thinks only to get it quickly before other birds beat him to it. In his eagerness, he doesn't see the trap that will snare him. And in the same way, this young man is eager for sex. He sees an opportunity. He rushes headlong toward it without ever noticing the trap. Now think about it for a moment. What happens in all of these cases? See, the danger is not so subtle that it can't be seen. The problem is the person is so caught up in the momentary pleasure that he becomes completely unaware of the surrounding environment. Whether we talk about the ox or we talk about the bird, they're not paying attention to what's around and connected with it. It's not because of a lack of strength either. An ox is strong. The ox didn't want to go someplace, or the farmer couldn't do a thing about it. See, what Solomon's pointing out, that many strong men have been pulled down by sexual sins. Take a look at verse 26. For many are the victims she has cast down, and numerous are all her slain. See, it's not about strength. An ox is a strong and mighty beast. Strength can't save you when you don't engage your mind. See, a lot of people look at things like sexual sins and stuff like that and say, I'm not going to give in. I'm stronger than that. But see, this is not a matter of strength. This is being about aware of what's around and what the dangers are. Paul talks to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. There's a young, or not necessarily a young man, but there was a man in the church at Corinth who had committed sin, and he had told the Corinthians that they needed to withdraw from him, which they did. But in the second letter, in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, there's a problem in that they had not accepted the young man when he repented back. And Paul says that needs to happen because there's a danger here. He says in verse 11, so that no advantage would be taken of us by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his schemes. See, this problem of not forgiving those who had wronged them, because Satan's going to take advantage of their division. We've talked about our theme for this year is unity. And this is one aspect of it. It's very easy to divide. But Satan will take advantage of that and cause damage and cause harm. And it's preventable because Christians ought to be aware of Satan's schemes. We don't want to be like the ox led to the slaughter. It is the wicked who are so caught up in their ways, they don't see the damage their sins are causing. Going back to Proverbs 4 this time. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 19. It says, the way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. They're caught up in darkness. We often talk about sin being like darkness. Those who are caught up in sin are so much in darkness, they don't even understand what's wrong. They're not aware of it. Over in Proverbs 23 is talking about there about people who are caught up in alcohol and drugs. See, some people facing troubles in life turn to drinking and drugs to dull the pain of living. But it's only a momentary escape. It dulls their intelligence. It stifles their connection to reality. To the point where they're not even able to tell when they're hurt. Take a look at Proverbs 23 and verse 35. Oops. Yeah. 23 verse 35. They struck me, but I did not become ill. They beat me, but I did not know it. When shall I awake and seek another drink? They're so disconnected, they can get beaten up and have no memory of it. And all they think about is having yet another drink. They're so focused on the pleasure that they're no longer connected to the reality around them. Again, about sexual sins in Proverbs chapter 9 and in verse 18. Proverbs 9 and verse 18, it says, but he does not know that the dead are there, that our guests are the depths of Sheol. Those committing sexual sins are too caught up in the pleasures to see that death that's all around them. And others rush for wealth. And in doing so, they take shortcuts and are completely unaware of the financial disasters that are awaiting them. Take a look at Proverbs 28. Proverbs 28 and verse 22. A man with an evil eye hastens after wealth and does not know what will come upon him. Again, not being aware of the surroundings, not being aware of the environment. You see, people who are caught up in sin, if they think about God at all, they think that God's not going to notice. Take a look at Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 40. And in verse 27, why do you say, O Jacob, and assert, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and the justice due me escapes the notice of my God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable. People think that God doesn't care, that God won't notice, that somehow I get away with my sins. Well, that's like being the bird who doesn't see the trap. And when God does punish them, it's like the fool. It has no impact. Take a look at Jeremiah chapter 5. Jeremiah chapter 5 and in verse 3. Jeremiah 5, starting with verse 3. O Lord, do not your eyes look for truth? You have smitten them, but they did not weaken. You have consumed them, but they refused to take correction. They have made their faces harder than rock. They have refused to repent. Then I said, they are only the poor. They are foolish. They do not know the way of the Lord or the ordinances of their God. God punishes, God corrects, but these people are too foolish to understand. They don't connect it to what they did. And so they never actually change. See, when we say somebody is dumber than an ox, we're talking about people who are foolish because they trust in themselves. Take a look at Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 3. An ox knows his owner, and a donkey his master's manger. But Israel does not know, my people do not understand. He's saying they're dumber than an ox. An ox at least knows who his master is. And so many people don't know that God is their God. Israel didn't acknowledge that. When Israel turned to idols, an obvious falsehood, we talked about this morning, God looks at it and says, why? It doesn't make sense. In Isaiah chapter 40 and in verse 21, Isaiah 40 and in verse 21, do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been declared to you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? There is so much evidence about the real and true God. How could you possibly think that some man-made idol compares? But then people are wise in themselves. They trust their own strength. In Romans chapter 11, talking about Israel, Romans chapter 11, verse 25. For I do not want you, brethren, to be uninformed of this mystery, so that you will not be wise in your own estimation, that a partial hardening has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. I want you to understand, so you don't become conceited like Israel did. It led to their blindness as to far as what God's plan really was. See, God doesn't do things in a hidden fashion all the time. Many times he does things right out in the open, and people just don't grasp it. Sometimes it leads me to think about, you know, a magician who does tricks, parlor tricks. He can do that right in front of you. And most people don't see it. In Isaiah chapter 6 and in verse 9. Isaiah 6 and verse 9. He said, go tell this people. Keep on listening, but do not perceive. Keep on looking, but do not understand. Render the hearts of this people insensitive, their ears dull, their eyes dim. Otherwise they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and return and be healed. These people can't even see what's right in front of them. This passage, by the way, is quoted a number of times in the New Testament and applied to the people, especially the Jews, who couldn't see their own Messiah, their own God, there present with them. Despite all the evidence, and when people are ignorant of God's righteousness, well, what they do is they make up their own righteousness, as we mentioned this morning. In Romans chapter 10, Romans chapter 10 and verse 3, for not knowing about God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God. They make up their own rules. They're ignorant about God, so they make their own up. And of course, it's the way they want things to go. When they're faced with the truth, they speak evil of it. But again, it's because they don't understand the truth. In 2 Peter chapter 2, and in verse 12, but these, like unreasoning animals, born as creatures of instinct to be captured and killed, reveling where they have no knowledge, or reviling, sorry, where they have no knowledge, will in the destruction of those creatures also be destroyed. When it's something they don't understand, they make a mockery of it. Not understanding is going to be their death. See, man's not able to see the pathway of safety when he's caught up in sin. In Proverbs 20 and verse 24, man's steps are ordained by the Lord. How then can man understand his ways? We think we're so much in control. We don't pay attention that God runs this world. And as Paul warned the Corinthians, after using the Israelites as an example, going through all the different ways the Israelites fell while in the wilderness, he warns them in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and in verse 12. He says, therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed that he does not fall. There's that idea again. Pay attention. Don't get so caught up in your own strength or your own wisdom or think that you are immune to somehow the dangers that are around you. Pay attention or you're going to fall too. See, we don't have to be ignorant. We have a whole world that walks around in darkness. They're blind to the truth. In Ephesians chapter 4, starting with verse 17, it says, so this I say and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk, in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. And they, having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity and with greediness. But you did not learn Christ in this way. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance to the lust of the deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God, has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. We don't have to be like the world. We are children of light, not darkness. We ought to see what's going on around us. We don't want to let Satan blind us to the truth. In 2 Peter chapter 1, 2 Peter chapter 1, starting with verse 8, for if these qualities are yours, talking about the various attributes that he mentioned before, and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful to the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. Put into practice what God has given to us, because that keeps us aware. That keeps us from being blind and nearsighted, short-sighted. As Paul asked the Romans in Romans chapter 2, sometimes we don't see what God is trying to do for us in our lives. In Romans chapter 2, starting with verse 2, we know that the judgment of God rightly falls upon those who practice such things. But do you suppose this, O man, when you have passed judgment on those who practice such things, and do the same yourself, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? There's so many things in this world that can blind us, distract us, keep us from being aware of what's really going on. We don't want to be like an ox that's being led off to the slaughter, unaware of what's going on. We need to have the truth and see what God has taught us. I hope you'll think about these things. If there's anyone here tonight who is not yet a child of God, there's no better time than right now to put on Christ. For those who are children of God, would like the prayers of their brethren on your behalf. Why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song that was selected.